God is good, isn't He? I've been talking about prayer for some time. Matter of fact, we talked about prayer for a couple of months. Last week we looked at a little different subject matter. And today we're going to embark on a journey. You've seen it in your bulletin already, perhaps if you saw the title. This journey to ask ourselves, am I a follower of Jesus? Or am I just a fan? And I want us to contemplate this question, and I pray that we can, when we're asked the question, we can raise our hands emphatically, yes, Lord, I am your follower. I am your child because of the blood of Jesus and my faith in Him and my surrendered commitment to Him. But I also pray, if we're not there, that we can, today, tomorrow, or before this series is over, say, yes, I want to be His follower. I want to be His child. This idea of fan or follower is not original with me. This idea came from a pastor by the name of Kyle Eidelman, who wrote the book, Not a Fan. Anybody read the book, Not a Fan? It's a good book, isn't it? I'm on my second time through it. Kyle pastors a church in Louisville, Kentucky. That's the fifth largest church in America. When they get together on Sunday, they get together with about 20,000 folks. That's a pretty good sized church. This is his idea, and so it's not original with me. I'm not taking credit for this idea of fan versus follower, but I want to build on it for a few weeks because I think it's important for us to really recognize what Scripture says. You see, brothers and sisters, in America today, let me back up. 20 years ago in America, 87%, 86% of people said, I'm a Christian. That slipped down 10, 11% now. Now we're down to the mid to upper 70s, 75, 76, 77. Yes, I'm a Christian. But we must look to Scripture and say and answer with certainty, I am a follower of Jesus. Christian had tremendous meaning in the first century. They were first called Christians in Antioch. You can remember that phrase in Acts. And Christian meant they were recognizable because they were followers of Jesus. They were distinguishable from the world because they had decided to follow Jesus, and the world took notice of these Christians. And when I read this book, and of course I read Scripture every day, and I'm compelled in the New Testament to think that we're going to have to ask ourselves the question in the 21st century church, am I a follower of Jesus? I mean genuine, born again, passionate, surrendered, deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Jesus, or am I just a fan? We're going to have to ask ourselves that. And so, I've been looking at some Scripture here to go with our first lesson. And I arrived first at Matthew 7:21. Now you say, Jim, we've been there before. You're right, we have. You've got a good memory if you remember that. But I want to look at it again. I want to make a point. Turn there to Matthew 7:21, 22, and 23. If you have your Bibles, if you don't, there's one on the chair somewhere in front of you. And if you choose, you can look at it on the big screen because it will be there too. You see, friends, it's easy to look like a Christian for an hour or two on Sunday morning. It really is. But we need to decide if we're a follower of Jesus, what do we look like Monday through Saturday? Matthew 7:21 brings this to my mind, brings us to awareness of this thought. When Jesus said, I'm just going to go ahead and read it out of my New Revised Standard here. It says, these are the words of Jesus at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. And so Jesus reminds us at the close of the Sermon on the Mount, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. Now you say, well, Jim, how does that work? He said, at the close of time, there'll be people arguing with God, arguing with Christ, saying, but God, I went to church a time or two. But God, I did this or I did that. I love my wife and I love my neighbor. But Jesus said, he will declare, unless we do the will of his Father, unless we become a passionate follower of Jesus, the only words to take into eternity are these, I never knew you. That is a sobering thought. The only words when we close our eyes in death, if we have not passionately become a follower of Christ, the only other words we are going to hear for eternity is these words of Jesus that said, I didn't know you. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't know who you are. It means that we never got to know who he is. And so I'm thinking about this fan versus follower idea. I looked up fan, by the way, in Webster's. Know what it says? Anybody venture to take a guess? Webster's newest rendition, I don't know about the 1800 models, but Webster's newest one says a fan is an enthusiastic admirer. You say, Jim, what's wrong with that? I'm going to show you from Scripture that Jesus says there's a difference between being a fan and my follower. I'm going to show you today, I'm going to show you next week, I'm going to show you the next, and however long it takes through Scripture, that Jesus says there is a significant difference, an eternal difference. Now, we know what a fan is. Most of us like sports or we have something we're a fan of. And we may go to a game, and it might be a high school game or it may be a professional game or whatever, and we may be sitting in the crowd with the number painted on our face of 28 or something under our eyes or our jerseys on it, and we're an enthusiastic admirer of this team. But Jesus said, if you're going to be my follower, you've got to get in the game. You can't sit in the sidelines and be an enthusiastic admirer. You've got to get in the game. And so I'm going to show us by Scripture, beginning in John 6, if you've got your Bible, turn to that, what he's talking about. Am I a fan or am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, you know this story in John chapter 6. You know it because it's a story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And you probably also know that in the story, when he has fed the 5,000, that a couple of things happen. Number one, his disciples, the 12, get in a boat and they cross the sea. You remember that, right? Maybe you remember that. The other part of that story is Jesus goes up into the mountain to pray. So the people that he had fed saw the disciples get in the boat, they cross the sea, they go to the other side. Jesus went in the mountain to pray. The very next verse says in 22, on the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him simply, Rabbi, when did you come here? So this is just saying there was people on that side that saw one boat get there with 12 disciples and no Jesus. There was people on this side that saw the disciples get in the boat and Jesus didn't get. And all of a sudden, Jesus is on the other side. That's what those verses are saying. And then we get the question. Rabbi, when did you come here? They didn't see him get in the boat. You say, so what? Does that question mean anything? Here's what Jesus answers them. Now listen, listen to what Jesus is saying. Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs. What signs are you talking about? The signs that he's the Son of God. The signs that he's the Messiah. The signs that he has done that were nothing short of miracles of God. He says to them, you seek me not because you saw the signs, not because you were convinced I am the Christ, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. And so he said, he reads their mind, if you will, collectively, and he says, you're seeking after me not because you have recognized me as Christ, but because you saw, you got this little benefit yesterday. You got lunch. That's what he said to them. He then goes on to say in verse 27, do not labor. And I would invite you to hang on to that word for a moment. I will address it in a minute. Do not labor for the food which perishes. They had that yesterday on the mountainside, so to speak, when he fed the 5,000. Do not labor for food that perishes, but the food which endures to eternal, to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. And so he begins to make a distinction between the bread they ate and he himself being the bread of life. And he's got this long diatribe, this long conversation, this long dialogue with them in the rest of the chapter about him being the bread of life. We don't have time to look at it all. But in verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They didn't get that. They didn't think that, they thought that was blasphemy. And so they were complaining about that. But when we get to the end of the chapter, after he's challenged them about the bread of life and needing to partake of this bread, even he said, eat of his flesh, because he is the bread of life, here's where we get to. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? You see, friends, this crowd, for the most part, was in it for the grub. This crowd, for the most part, was enthusiastic admirers. This crowd, for a large part, when he asked them to commit, to surrender to him as Messiah and Lord, and to commit, for the most part, walked away from him to follow him no more. Most assuredly, I say to you, Jesus reminded them early on in this chapter, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Enthusiastic admirers. They ate the loaves and were filled. This crowd would be categorized as fans of Jesus. They liked that he met their physical needs for the day, but weren't able to commit, weren't willing to surrender. This crowd, when Jesus asked them to commit, wasn't willing. We saw it in verse 66. And so you see, my friends, Jesus reminds us, not only is he the bread of life, but being a follower of Jesus is not always easy. He reminds us that being his follower may take laboring. Labor for that which does not perish, he reminded us. It may take, you may go through some persecution. You may go through some difficulty. He reminds us that being his follower is not every day a cakewalk. Do not labor for the food that perishes, he reminds us. And so, friends, hear me now. Hear me on this. If you hear nothing else, hear this. God was not, and Jesus is not, looking for only enthusiastic admirers. He is looking for followers. You begin to see the difference? We are either, some aren't even enthusiastic admirers, but we are either enthusiastic admirers watching the game go by with some enthusiasm, with some zeal, but we have not got to the point of committing to follow. We're fans. Fans of this Christendom. Fans of this guy called Jesus. But we're not willing to step out and follow day after day after day. Year after year, because I might have to give something up. I might have to obey His word or whoever, whatever else we come up with. We're not willing to commit to be His follower. That's a difference that Jesus is talking about in being a fan or a follower. I don't think it's any different today in the 21st century, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. I think He's still looking for followers. And when I ask, are you a follower, I hope that we can, with emphasis and zeal, say yes, by the grace of God, I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But hear me for a moment, friends. When I ask, am I a follower? When I ask, are you a follower? I'm not asking, do you go to church? I think that's good. I think it's wonderful. I think we should be there every week. I think God's people should be together. But that's not what I'm asking. The Pharisees went to church. Remember? Matter of fact, they were there pretty regular on the Sabbath. They didn't get it. I'm not asking when I say, are you a genuine, passionate, born-again, surrendered follower of Jesus Christ? I'm not asking, do you go to church? The Pharisees did that, and for the most part, they were not followers. I'm not asking you if your parents were Christians or took you to church. I'm not asking that. The Jews said, you know what? Abraham's our father. We're a shoe-in. And most of them were not His follower. I'm not asking you if you're on the church directory somewhere or on church membership somewhere. Although these things are all wonderful and good, they don't define follower. These things may be evidence because you have become a follower. Just like James said, I'll show you my faith by what I do. These may be evidences because you have decided to be a follower. But just going to church on Sunday morning does not make me a follower. Jesus, friends, in the 21st century America, like He did of Andrew and Peter, James and John, Stephen and Matthew, Nathanael and Bartholomew, Philip and all the rest of them, ask them to follow. And when He said, come follow, He meant follow. When He asked Matthew to get up out the tax collector station, Matthew got up out of the tax collector station and followed. His lifestyle had to change. When He got to Peter and Andrew and said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, they left their nets and they followed. When He got to James and John, they were with their father mending the nets, and He said, come follow me. They had to get up and leave and follow. Friends, He's asking us to do the same thing. I'm not saying He's going to ask you to leave your job, your occupation, your wife, or anything else. But I am saying that His word has not changed. And when He says to people in the 21st century, I want you to be my follower, He means it. He wants people to be passionately surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord. And our life is evidence of that. Could the disciples be distinguished in the first century? Hello? They were distinguishable because they had committed to follow Jesus. It meant a change in their lives. It meant they were different people. It meant they were Spirit-led. It meant they did business dealings different. It meant they looked at Jesus different. It meant they looked at God different because they had decided to be followers of Jesus. And He's asking Christians in the 21st century the same thing, brothers and sisters, to be distinguishable, not because I'm better than anybody else. I've been born again. Not because I go to this church or that, because I have the Holy Spirit of God in me. He's asking His church to be followers and be distinguishable from the world. How in the world is the world ever going to see Jesus if they never see Jesus modeled in the church? when he says salt and light. He means it. And so, brothers and sisters, when Jesus got to Matthew 7:21, and he just finished the Sermon on the Mount, and he said, you know what, friends? But not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to be part of the kingdom of heaven. He meant it. Why? Because people might have been to church. People might have even picked up the good book once in a while, but they never decided and committed to be his follower. That's why. When Jesus got done with his Sermon on the Mount, he was not asking people to be casual observers or enthusiastic admirers. He was asking them to come and follow me. That's what he was asking of them. Our lives define whether we are followers or fans. Let me read from you a quote. We're going to close in a couple minutes. From Pastor Eidelman. Here's what he writes in his book. My concern is that many of our churches in America have gone from being sanctuaries to becoming stadiums. And every week all the fans come to the stadiums where they cheer for Jesus, but have no real interest in truly following him. The biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. End quote. The 5,000. Give me the benefits. Give me the grub. But when you ask me to commit, I'm out of here. I think he's right. I think he's right. In the 21st century, I think we have fallen into the category subtly, over time, we may be falling into the category of fandom. Rah, rah, sis, poom, bah, whatever the old cheers was, Jesus, and then go out and live like the world Monday through Saturday. I think, brothers and sisters, that God is calling his people to a different life than that. I told the first service, and I wrestled with myself in tears about this question. When I think about these heavy topics, you know what I ask myself? I ask myself, why do I care? And I wrestled in my spirit for the last 2 or 3 days. Why do I care? I care because I believe that book is real. I care because I believe heaven and hell are real. I care because I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. I care because I believe that Jesus has called his people, not just the 12, not just the 12 and the 7, but his people to be passionate followers of Jesus, so much so that it shows in my everyday living. I love Jesus. I believe because Jesus has called us, me and you, not just preachers. He's called us, people of God, to be so in love with him that we love our neighbor and it shows. I care because Jesus has called us to more than just looking like and living like and acting like and talking like and flowing with the world, because we're going to get to the edge of eternity. And if that's all we have ever done, he's going to say to the church, I don't know you. That's why I care. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at Scripture, and Jesus has some great examples of calling people to be his followers, and then the excuses start. We're going to look at Scripture over the next few weeks. There's some good Scripture about Jesus calling them to be followers. Yeah, but this and yeah, but that. And so let me just close with this for today. Ask yourself a couple simple questions today, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors. to start to define, am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or am I still in the fan category? Think about a couple of these questions. How much of my time, energy, talents, and resources does God get? That'll start to show, is He important to me? Ask myself, ask yourself, does Jesus get my best? Brothers and sisters, that's what He's asking for. You know what? Let's face it. Without Him, we got nothing anyway. Does He get my best? That'll start to define, am I a fan or a follower? Do the fruits of the Spirit define who I am and how I live? Will start to define, am I a fan or a follower? You say, Jim, what are the fruits of the Spirit? How's my love, my joy, my peace, my patience, my gentleness, my goodness, my self-control, my meekness? How are those, I missed one, how are those adding up? That'll begin to define, am I a fan or a follower? Am I completely obedient to His Word? Begins to define fan versus follower. Is my life any different than the world's? We'll start to define, am I a fan or a follower? And so, friends, I just want to say this to conclude. I think God's Word is real clear. He doesn't do lukewarm. We know that from Revelation 3. He doesn't do lifestyles of sin. He calls us from that and says, go and sin no more. We read that. That's over and over. He doesn't do fandom. We just saw that from Jesus' first example. We're going to see a lot more. I think He wants surrendered followers. When He says, but him or her that does the will of my Father in heaven is the only one going to be part of the kingdom of heaven, I think He means it. I think He meant it. And so, friends, I guess this is on my heart because I genuinely care where you spend eternity. I genuinely care where I spend eternity and my family, but I genuinely care where you do too. And this community, and the next, and the next. And I believe that Jesus has called followers to be salt and light. I believe it's time for the church of America and around the world, for the 21st century, to really be followers and not just fans. And so we're going to talk about this for a while. And we're going to sing a little song. It's in your hymnal. Jess, go ahead. Come on up here. We're going to get ready to sing this song. It's a really good little song. We've probably never sung it here before. It's a Bill Gaither song, written back in the 70s. It's a really good song about what I've been trying to say this morning, asking the gentle shepherd to lead us. And I'm just wondering today, friends, are you really a follower? Have you really committed it all to the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you really laid it all on the line? Have you really said, yes, I'm going to repent of all sin. I'm going to walk with you, Jesus, in newness of life. I want to surrender my will to yours. Are you really a follower? If you're not sure, I'd encourage you to come up and pray. I'm going to ask Pastor Les to come up here again today, and I'm going to ask you to come up and pray with Pastor Les. Or if you've been struggling with something else, I'm going to ask you to come up and pray with Pastor Les while we sing this song. Friends, eternity depends on what we've decided to do with Jesus. A casual observer, an enthusiastic admirer, isn't going to get it done. We've got to decide if we're going to be a follower. And I pray that you have already decided that. And I pray that you have decided not only to be His follower, but to live, act, look like His follower. Because we've surrendered it all to Him.